You might think that after they drop the kids off at summer camp, parents might fall into a hammock, catch up on their reading, or indulge in a little marriage time. But Julie Kraut reports that more than a few moms and dads get back home and log onto the computer to stream video from the camp website to watch the kids unpack and then send them emails on the proper way to fold T-shirts. If you're a camper or a parent, if you work at a summer camp, how has technology transformed the experience? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also share your stories on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Writer Julie Kraut wrote a story for The Washington Post titled All at Summer Camp, Big Mother is Watching. She's also the author most recently of a novel for young readers called Slept Away, and she's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And you visit a lot of summer camps to do research for that book.
Well, I did talk to my old camp director, and I did a lot of reading about summer camps and reflected a lot on my own experience to write for the book.
And your own experience was not that much different of people from past generations where the kids would arrive and it would be very much an independent idea and you would write letters home and that sort of thing. Totally cut off from mom and dad.
Exactly. The only communication I had with my parents was through letter writing.
And that has changed.
Completely.
Give us an example.
Well, today at camp, the kids typically have the same kind of experience that I had, but the parents are the ones who have upped the tech ante on their side a lot. There are these daily updated photo galleries where parents can see in action shots of their campers. There are e-newsletters that go out either weekly or daily, depending on your camp. Some camp directors are Twittering, and there are even live stream videos of important events, or some camps just have cameras around camp, always live streaming.
You tell the story of one mother who complained that her daughter was not enough in the pictures, and so the next day they pulled the daughter out of some activities to make sure she was in enough pictures.
That's exactly, that's totally what happened in an interview I read, but she actually emailed her camper to let him know to get back in the picture, so it was just such instant communication.
And this, the idea of summer camp, homesickness is a part of it. You have to learn this.
Yeah, it is. Homesickness is something that's real, and it is just something you that I, as a camper, just muscled through maybe my first day or two and then had a wonderful experience for the rest of the summer.
And for many kids, it's their first experience away from home for any substantial amount of time.
Well, of course. Yeah, most of these kids are pretty young, so this is their first time away from home.
And you mentioned that there's some activity that probably no parent would really want to see on streaming live video of.
That's true. I mean, I know, speaking from my experience, there was some bad behavior on my part that wouldn't make any website and that parents probably wouldn't want to know about anyway.
I suspect there were more than a few years between my camp experience and yours, but battery raids where you would sneak out of the cabin late at night and then shower the cabin next door with expired Rayovac to wake them up in the middle of the night. Such activities, great fun and probably damaging a little bit to the siding of the cabins. But other than that, probably not a wise idea to stream the live video.
Definitely. You're definitely right.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. How has technology changed your experience of a camp, whether you're a camper, a counselor, or a parent? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Andrew. Andrew with us from Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I was a summer camper for 14 years, started when I was 7, and then I've been working with summer camps for the past 25 years, taking camper photographs for the parents. And my wife and I have 2 children that are at summer camp, and we have this discussion quite often about the camp pictures that are shown online through one of the services. And I completely reject going to those websites and looking at the pictures. It really troubles me that they're posting all of these photographs. I prefer to let my child have their own experience, you know, instead of me peeking in on it.
This is how you make your living, though, taking these pictures?
No, I make my living taking the individual camper portraits and their cabin pictures.
I see.
But not the pictures that are taken around camp that usually they hire a counselor to take those photographs throughout the summer.
Okay, and you want them to be away. Why is it too much, do you think?
Well, I just think, you know, I guess I have an old-fashioned view of the camp experience, which is that when I am sent away to go to summer camp, it's for my personal growth. And it's my turn, my opportunity to have great fun with all of my friends without my parents peeking in on me at every step.
Yep. But parents could feel a little concern about, how is little Junior or little Debbie doing on this
Well,
adventure?
I think when parents make the difficult decision to send their child to camp, hopefully they've had a chance to talk to all of the camp directors and listen to what they have to say, and that they feel comfortable sending their child to that particular place, comfortable enough where they don't necessarily worry that their child, they have to see their child at every step.
All right, Andrew. Thanks very much. We should say Andrew's voice has been changed, altered to protect his identity. Appreciate that, Andrew. Let's see if we go next to Victoria. Victoria calling us from Denver.
Hi,
Victoria.
Denver.
Yep.
And my children are all the way across the country in Maine. I am thrilled that I can log on every night and see what they've done for the day. I love being able to see happy, smiling faces. When the flu scare started at camp, I was thrilled to see that still happen. My little one got up on long rope on water skiing. That was a huge achievement in her life, and I got to see it happen, even though I was, 3,000 miles away.
And you didn't feel like you were hovering?
You know what? The girls know who Ed the camp photographer is. They mug for him, and I'm thrilled. My instructions, some of my emails to camp, stand in front of Ed, make sure you get a picture taken today so I can see that you're at camp having a great time. And I don't think my kids mind. They know what he does. When they don't want him to see him, they walk the other way.
And Julie Crouch, she's got a point. Kids will mug for the photographer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know that kids do mug for the photographer, and they're doing it, I think, for their parents, not for their camp experience. And even just the 30 seconds that they're spending chasing around the camp photographer, the counselor, I do think it's 30 seconds less kickball they're doing or 30 seconds less bug juice they're drinking.
And I have to disagree because, he's not invasive. He's not in their faces. He's not disrupting their activities. He's sitting on the ski boat. They're skiing. She wasn't paying any attention to him. She was concentrating on standing up. When my older daughter is out riding and jumping, she's not worried if Ed's getting a great picture of her. She's worried about what her horse is doing. And the added plus for me is that I get the reassurance that they are having a great time. Yeah, I get one letter a week maybe, but like this, I can send these pictures out to Grandma and Grandpa, all my sisters and brothers, and I get pictures of my nieces and nephews and friends' kids at all the camps they're at and seeing what they're doing. I love it.
And when are they due home, Victoria?
Oh, they don't come home until August 15th. This is 8 weeks in May.
Well, I hope they have a great time. I hope they continue to have a great time. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Rick. Rick calling us from Cincinnati.
Hi, Neil. This is a great show. I'm glad you're talking about this. I've got a son who goes to summer camp every year, and it's a great camp, but they don't let the kids bring cell phones. They don't have computers. Email's not allowed. And they do that to enrich the kids' camp experience.
And, Julie, that's a point you make. A lot of camps will not let kids have cell phones or PDAs of any sort.
Right, definitely. The kids don't have this kind of technology. It's kind of a one-way digital mirror that the parents have.
Yeah, more to your earlier point about, in the first few days, separation anxiety, the kids want to come home. If they can send an email, it's real easy for mom and dad to run up and get them. But if they have to write a letter, it's real hard. Helps them get through that first day.
The letter begins, hello, mudda, hello, fada.
Exactly. And they're allowed to use stamps and paper, and that's about it.
Rick, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to Scott. Scott with us from Wilmot in New Hampshire.
I'm actually a camp director, and this is something that we certainly give a lot of consideration to. I think, as a camp professional, it's a real balancing act. Parental anxiety is a reality, and there is no doubt that this generation of parents is more anxious for a whole variety of reasons than our parents might have been when we were campers. And so, being able to construct a system and use technology to relieve that anxiety while preserving the sanctity of the children's camp experience is really, that's the balancing act. And I think camp directors really try to do that in a way that is deferential to preserving kids' camp experience.
And what kind of requests do you get from parents? I mean, what will you not do?
Different camps fall in different places.
Sure.
We've made the choice to post pictures and to allow parents to email kids once a day But we put those emails, we print them out once a day, and we put them in with the regular mail. We don't allow parents to kind of have a continuous communication loop with their kids because, you know, you run the risk of children essentially not having the opportunity to solve their own challenges. And camp, you know, the greatest growth that comes from a camp experience sometimes is managing the natural conflict that comes up in bunk life. If you're talking about a resident camp, it's the light water of the camp experience that really provides an opportunity for growth, with the help of a counselor who's there to provide guidance and make sure that things ultimately go well.
I think he's right, Julie. The challenge is not getting a lanyard made properly. It's dealing with the geek in the upper bunk.
Exactly. And more to that point, I think that these digital photograph galleries and this instant emailing, those virtual postcards aren't going to convey the growth and those kind of skills. And any friends that your kids are making, it's not going to convey those kind of experiences back home to you.
Hmm. Scott?
There's only a certain amount of growth, I think, that kids, or certain kinds of growth that kids can achieve when they're at home or when they're at school. And camp provides them with the opportunity to be part of a caring community, a community that's intentionally created, that allows them to live their lives and make decisions, exercise greater autonomy, and have greater independence than even the best, most well-intended parent can provide within their homes. That's really the bounty of the camp experience. And so we, as camp professionals, we need to preserve the sanctity of that and again, address parental anxiety as it comes up.
Scott, thanks very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking about the camp experience and technology. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Jeff, and Jeff with us from Corvallis in Oregon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very well, thanks.
Good. It's an interesting conversation, and I definitely think that the camp experience is really rewarding without parents constantly being there. I guess the issue for me, I'm an elementary school principal and also the father of three. One just finished his freshman year in college. And I see it in myself, and I see it in the parents that I work with, that we seem to have kind of an inability to allow our children to go through any formative life experience without us right there.
Mm.
And I think that changes fundamentally the experience.
Heisenberg principle, if you will, if the parents observe, it changes the object?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that there's also a great desire to mitigate any kind of risk or harm. One of your callers said, you know, I just want to know that they're having a great experience. Well, what if they're not having a great experience? That's its own lesson.
Right, that's part of the experience.
And even if they are having a bad experience, what's that going to lead to? Are you going to go get them? I think we run a real risk, I think, of disabling our children in terms of being able to problem solve and function on their own. Look at the controversy was created by Lenore Skenazy when she let her child take this very familiar route on the New York City subway. You think she was the worst mother in the world. So I think it's a challenge that our society is going to have to deal with, because the risks, if you look at the numbers, the risks are no greater in terms of children being abused or injured or anything else than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but we seem like we just have to make sure that everything is okay for them all the time. And I'll tell you, when they get on their own, that's not going to be something we can control, at least hopefully not.
All right, Jeff. Thanks very much, and good luck with your kids, thanks, too. Bye-bye. Let's go next to Kathy. Kathy with us from Ortonville in Michigan.
Hi there.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I'm trying to talk fast because I'm almost out of batteries on my cell phone. I work at a camp. I work actually in the clinic at a very large summer camp in Michigan. And I see a double-edged sword as far as the photographs go and the technology. I know everybody, all the parents, I'm a parent as well, love to see the pictures, and it's not so that we can control our children. It's just their joy. On the other side, there are parents who become obsessed And I've had many times where a parent will have seen their child at photograph and call the clinic and say, I think they might have a rash. Mm-hmm. I think I see cheeks looking a little bit rosy there, and can you call them in? I'm worried that they're sick. So there's two different types of parents, I think. Some who find pure joy from seeing their children, and some who are going to worry about them no matter what, whether they're at camp or somewhere else.
All right, Kathy, we're going to save your what's left of your batteries, and thank you very much and let you go. Appreciate the phone call. And I wonder, Julie Kraut, as you, what kind of response did you get to this piece?
You know, I actually got mostly emails that said, yeah, you're right, this is kind of crazy, and this is starting to affect our kids' camp experience, from camp directors and from other parents and from people who didn't have kids or who had very young kids saying, I hope that I don't do this when my kids are camp-going age. So,
well, you look like somebody who's a little too young to have children of camp-going age, at least yet. But when the time comes, are you prepared to send them away for their wilderness adventure?
I definitely would send my kids to camp. I had a great time at camp, and I'd love for other people to have a similar experience.
Despite nocturnal experiences that might not be appropriate for the webpage.
Exactly.
Julie Kraut, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Julie Kraut wrote the column in the Washington Post, at Summer Camp, Big Mother is Watching. We have a link to it at our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, Ellen Ruppel-Schell asks us to take a closer look at discount culture. Her new book is titled Cheap. She joins us tomorrow. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation for NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.